Welcome back to another episode of On Life and Being Human. I'm your host, Catherine Colleen, and this is the podcast where we help you create a deeper connection to yourself, to others, to your life, to help get through challenges that life brings your way, or simply to accelerate your personal development. You'll find that deeper connection is the key to making it happen. Before we get started today, I want to give a big thanks, a big shout out to a few of our listeners in Dallas, Texas, in Columbus, Ohio, and in Toronto, Canada. Thank you for this connection. I see you out there, and I'm so glad that you're here. If you have questions, you can send them in to questions@koabd.com, or you can use the form on the community page at the website. Just go to koabd.com or katherinecolleen.com. And take a look at the form there. Let me know how I can help. If you'd like to remain anonymous, just let me know. It's a popular option. So today we're going to be talking about how connection is not attachment. And we're also going to be taking a look at a really great audience question about whether to identify the state you're in now and work forward from there, or to go all the way back to stage one and start there. As you can tell from the title of this episode, I recommend going all the way back to stage one and starting there, and I'm going to talk about why and kind of the pros and cons of each approach. Realistically, any effort along this roadmap for your self-development is going to be a good idea, but we'll talk about why you might want to start in stage one. All right, so let's talk about connection versus attachment. I'm always harping on this idea of connection and creating a deeper connection with yourself and everything around you. And this can get confused, especially when you're first getting started in this process. And sometimes you can slip up a little bit later on and confuse this with attachment. In the Buddhist world, all suffering is attributed to attachment. And I believe that to be true. So connection is not attachment. Let's get into this. So in the quest to feel connected to ourselves and to others and to your world, you're in danger of creating attachment instead of connection. And this is something that we really want to avoid. Attachment is a feeling of needing the presence or approval or love of someone or something. Attachment leads to pain when things and people are lost due to the natural course of life. Right? So in the natural course of life, people go in and out of your life, things go in and out of your life, places go in and out of your life. And if you are attached, which is to say that you need or require the approval or presence or love of that person, place, or thing, then when that leaves your life, there's going to be a lot of pain. And you're likely to do stupid things to try to hold on to it, and that will cause even more pain. But connection is not attachment. Connection is a feeling of being focused in the moment on that person, place, or thing. And seeing the truth of that person, place, or thing. And seeing the divine nature of them. So that's different. In attachment, you need something from them. In connection, you are reaching out from yourself to them. I wonder if you could say that connection is the opposite of attachment. Discussion for another time. So that's the difference. Attachment is needing something from them, from outside yourself. Connection is reaching out from within yourself to that person, place, or thing, to see their truth, to see their divine nature, to be focused on them in the moment. Connection is being so in tune with that person or that place or that thing that you inherently understand them. Their presence and approval is very enjoyable, don't get me wrong. But it doesn't mean anything in particular about you. So having their presence and approval does not validate or invalidate anything about your current self. It doesn't affect your identity. Now, trying to form a complete connection to other people before you have a complete connection to yourself can set you up for potential abuse and neglect and attachment. So let's talk about why that is, because this is really, really risky. And here's our first reason why you probably want to start at stage one. Forming a complete connection to yourself ensures that you aren't going to be needing anything for validation from anyone else, right? And if you do not have that complete connection to yourself yet, and you start trying to connect to other people, you may end up seeking from them that validation that you don't yet give to yourself. And that's just a setup for disaster. You're going to be prone to needing their approval. You're going to be prone to self-sabotage and other vulnerabilities that others can take advantage of because, or that make you take advantage of others, right? Because not everybody's in a stage where they are kind to other people. And if you recall, stage three and stage five can be particularly ugly. People can be pretty nasty. So if you can have connection and still let go of that person, let's focus on people for a while, content to not have their presence or their approval, even though that presence is much preferred, this is really ideal. So for example, you can have a complete connection to your parent, but be content to be away from them and be content to not have contact with them for a little while. If they do not approve of your choices, you don't mind, right? And that's what complete connection looks like. Attachment in the parent scenario looks like a needing their approval, a craving their presence or their approval or their validation. That's attachment. If your parents disapprove of what you're doing and that vastly upsets you, you have an attachment to your parents, not a connection. When you have a connection, you really won't mind being away from them. When you have connection, you don't mind having a period of time where you're not able to chat. And you don't mind when they don't approve of what you're doing. You can let them have that disapproval and you can still feel fully validated in your effort. Why? Because you are completely connected to yourself first, giving yourself what you need for that validation. And that's what it would look like in the parent scenario. You can be content to let their opinions be their opinions, which have no bearing on you or your identity or your choices. And you don't need to feel the need to lash out at them either or to convince them. You don't feel the need to convince them. You just let it be. And you can feel as connected to them when you're not in contact as you do when you're right there in person. That's connection. Attachment is desperate for presence. Connection transcends presence. It does not require presence. Presence is nice and enjoyable and preferred, but certainly not required. When you're completely connected to your partner, you would rather be together, but you feel no less connected when you're apart, just because they're not in the room or in the building or in the state or in the country. And that's the difference, right? There are certain types of relationships that feel like a desperation for presence. Shakespeare wrote plays about it. It's a very overly romantic, right? But wouldn't it be neat if you could replace the desperation for presence with an excitement for presence and a joy of presence. And that is romantic. Two people who are completely connected to themselves first, who can then come together and be completely connected to each other and revel in the joy of that presence, which then is an opportunity to take that complete connection even deeper. Now that's to me, that's the stuff. And so when you're in this type of connected relationship rather than attached, you may think of them often and revisit all the things about them that you adore and appreciate, but you do not pain for them. You don't feel detached just because they're not in the same space. And so let's take the other side of that coin. And similarly, you can be in the same room with someone and be completely disconnected. You can be attached but disconnected, and that's the worst case scenario. You can have a desperation for somebody's approval or somebody's presence, or both, and at the same time be completely disconnected from them. That is a situation you really, really don't want. The ideal is complete connection without attachment. That is connection across every area. You can use the chakras as a map for that if that works for you, or Maslow's hierarchy of needs. It's all the same, really. And create that connection across each of those areas without having any attachments. So you see, to do this, you really have to be connected to yourself first so that you're not vulnerable to seeking that approval or presence or validation from someone else. Not that that's not nice. That's nice. That's lovely. It feels good, right? Good for our egos, but the monkey mind likes it very much. But if you're connected to yourself, it's not required. So the theory is that when you are completely connected to someone, be it a parent or a spouse or a friend, not even death can separate you. You can still feel their presence at any moment that you or they choose. And that's the idea. The universe is full of these dichotomies. If we are attached, we are guaranteed to lose them. All right? If you're attached to a person, place, or thing, you are almost guaranteed that it will leave your life. If you're desperate for it, you are guaranteed to not have it. But if you are connected to it, you're guaranteed to have it forever. So we need to really work on this difference between connection versus attachment. And part of that is recognizing which one you've got. So as always, throughout all of your efforts, you want to be very cognizant of what is happening in your world, of how your mind is acting, the thoughts that are going through your head. We want to have a little bit of distance from that, so that instead of being wrapped up in the emotion and the monkey mind, we can instead be an observer of that, so that if we're starting to feel desperate for the presence of someone or something, we can say to ourselves, oh, I'm feeling attachment. You know, name it. Shine the spotlight on it so that it will dissolve. And that theme comes up over and over again, right? Every time that you shine the spotlight on something and say, I see it there, this is what's happening, it will begin to soften and let go. So if you are acting in a way of attachment, just recognize it. Just say, oh, okay, I see that there, that's attachment. I prefer connection. I don't want this attachment. I want this connection. So then the next thing you would want to do is ask yourself, why are you feeling attachment for this person, place, or thing, as opposed to building connection? And be brutally honest with yourself here. If it's a person, it may be that you are using them for validation of yourself. And this is going to be hard to admit to yourself. Or it could be that it's what you're seeking from them is not validation. It may be something else. So ask yourself, what is it that that presence gives you? Does it make you feel safe? Why don't you feel safe on your own? Does it make you feel worthy? Why don't you feel worthy on your own? These are some tough questions. I call these commute questions or workout questions. These are really great questions to have in your mind when you're driving on your commute to work, or you're on the treadmill, or you're working out. And in that honesty, this does not mean this relationship is doomed. It means that you've got some work to do on you to find that complete connection to yourself. Which brings us to this audience question. And it's I get this question a lot. And it's, well, I'm trying to figure out where I am on the cycle of human development. I think I'm in this stage or that stage. Or I spend most of my time in one stage here, or maybe it's stage 5 or stage 6. And I spend a little bit of time in these other stages. Where should I begin my efforts? Should I start in the stage where I spend the most time and then work from there? Or should I start in the earliest stage where I spend some time and work from there? And my thinking right now is that you should start back in stage 1, all the way back, regardless of the stages you're spending the most time in now. And here's a couple reasons. And in fact, I would consider not even trying to identify the stage you're in right now. The reason is, if you're in a crappy stage, you already know it. And there's no reason to sit there and feel like you've underachieved or something like that. That's just where you are right now, right? And whatever stage you're in right now, most of the time, is where you need to be right now. And that's okay. So you can have a tendency to get down on yourself or to compare yourself to later stages and feel down that you're not, what you would call further along, but there is no further along. Remember, this is a cycle, and we're all going around and around and around. It's not like you get to stage 11 and you get to stay there. It's a beautiful, blissful place, but that doesn't mean you're not going to come around and ever visit stage 3 again or stage 5 or something. So stage 1, starting with stage 1, you're going all the way back to the beginning. This is not a demotion. This is actually, in my opinion right now, the most effective way to accelerate your development and spend as little time in the early stages as possible. And here's why. So each stage has several tasks that you need to complete. I swear life is a video game. And if you don't complete some of these tasks, life will find a way to bring you back around for you to address it again. And you'll find yourself back in that early stage again and again and again, because it's trying to get you to complete the tasks and you haven't completed the tasks. So if you go back to stage 1 and consciously complete every task and work your way through it, you prevent spending as much time. I was going to say you prevent the possibility of coming back around to that stage again, but obviously you will at some point come back around to that stage again, because life evolves us all. But you're gonna spend a lot less time getting pulled back to that stage because you've completed the task. So life doesn't have a reason to bring you back to that stage. Now, saying that, life evolves us all, and we can tend to not maintain our connection to self and others. And when that happens, we then are required to redo some of these tasks, to update some of these tasks. And life will bring you back around to these stages to update your tasks. Now, you can argue that you could preempt that a little bit by regularly updating your tasks. And so that's something that I'm experimenting with right now. But starting at stage one, I believe, is the right way to go. Now, when you start at stage one, and my students are doing this right now because as I'm recording this, this is January. And January is stage one month. It works out pretty perfectly. You'll find that, you know, every stage has half a dozen or so, some less, some more, tasks that you need to work on. And some of these tasks, you're going to feel like, oh, yeah, no, I'm good. And that's okay. And other tasks will resonate with you as something that you know you need to work on. You'll just know it. You'll be like, yeah, I know I need to do that. I know. And so that's what I would do. I would take the roadmap. I would start back at stage one, and I would work those tasks all the way from stage one forward. And I believe that is your most efficient and effective method for creating the complete connection to yourself. And the other big reason to do that, of course, is in the early stages are all about connection to self. And you want to have that connection to self before you attempt to make those connections to others or to deepen your connections to others, for exactly the reason that you could end up in a state of attachment rather than connection. And then what's going to happen? Life's going to pull you all the way back around, and you're going to have to do it all over again. So I would work that. The early stages are foundational. They're not lesser. They're foundational. Just like Maslow's hierarchy of needs has a foundation in trust and safety. Stage one sets your foundation for groundedness and trust and safety for this journey. So I would start there. And I think that's your most effective and efficient route. Okay, so let's recap. You want to be creating connection, not attachment. Connection is reaching out from the self versus attachment, which is pulling towards the self. And we want to, when we're working this roadmap, consider going back wherever you are right now, going back to stage one and starting from there so that you can pick up any pieces you might have missed and take the most efficient and effective route. All right, that's enough for today. Thanks for joining us here. I so enjoy your presence on this podcast. I hope it's been helpful. If it's been useful to you, if you could give us a little 5-star rating in iTunes or your favorite podcast player of choice, and send in your questions to questions@koabd.com or send them in using the form on the community page at the website. You can use koabd.com or KatherineColleen.com. Go to the community page, scroll down for the form, and send in your questions. I can't wait to see how I might be able to help. Thanks for joining us this time. And as always, I'm wishing you, Purna Asati, complete connection.